Good afternoon. This is Truth Light, and our show is The Light of Truth. And if you're just joining us for the first time, welcome. And if you're a repeat listener, thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you guys. We love all the first-timers, too, and the ones who just drop by. But we definitely want to thank those who come back again and again. Today's show is actually pre-recorded, so if you are pressing one to speak with the host and that doesn't happen, I'm not ignoring you. It's just a pre-recorded show because I am, as we speak, or as you listen, whatever, I am actually on my way to a fabulous skull meditation at Jaap van Etten's place. You can Google Jaap, it's J-A-A-P, van Etten. He's one of the world-renowned experts on crystal skulls and ancient crystal skulls and grid lines and vortexes and portals. Oh my! So he's got several books. I think his latest one is on actually the crystal skulls. And so I'm very, very pleased and blessed to be going out to his place tonight for this fabulous meditation. So tonight's show is pre-recorded. So today our topic is learning to go with the flow. You know, things are shifting and changing, and things are moving more quickly than before, and it just seems to be that it's a little harder to keep up. I don't know, for me and for the people that I know anyway. And so learning, even when things are stagnant, you know, for sometimes people feel that you know, everything's happening around them and nothing's happening for them. And so learning to go with the flow can be a little bit difficult at times. And it's becoming more and more important to understand exactly how to do that. So today we're going to talk about that. And I do wish that we had the ability to chat back and forth, because it's always more fun when there's participation in the show and it's not just me rambling on and on and on. Hopefully you guys get something out of it, though. So it's definitely, this topic is definitely one that has been one of my major life lessons over the past couple of years. And so I do see that it's a really important thing to get the hang of as we shift into these higher levels of consciousness, as we are doing on a planetary level. So if you notice that things are becoming more intense, things are moving more rapidly, or even if you logically look at things and go, okay, they don't seem to be happening any faster logically, but man, do I feel like life is just rushing by and things are happening faster, you know, even if when I look at the calendar, maybe it's not so much. You may want to just kind of rethink the perspective with which you see life and see the world and the place that you come from in your own life. The reality is that linear time is an earthly thing. And so, you know, we have the quantum physicists and, that was a big word for me, apparently, physicist. And, you know, Einstein talked about time really not existing. You know, it's relative. And I do see, you know, I think in one of our other shows in the archive somewhere, we talked about how time is relative. Because if you think about, you know, they talk about time flies when you're having fun, and God, it just drags when you're not happy. And, you know, the time on your watch isn't shifting, but it certainly does seem to go by faster when there are different circumstances. And so time really is relative, even just from that point of view. But there are, you know, many, 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 many scientists throughout the ages who caution us that time is just a third dimensional thing, because in this reality, we seem to need that linear aspect of time, and because we need the relativity for the lessons that we come here to learn. If we didn't have the duality of things and the interactions with different people and the experiences one after the other after the other after the other, we wouldn't learn the lessons or gain the wisdom that we came here to accomplish. So in learning to go with the flow, it's good to understand that time is just a perspective and a learned concept. I mean, imagine if nobody had ever taught you that there was time. Would you really have the same concept of it? And so as we begin to kind of play with this and just, you know, climb up out of your box or push the walls of that box out a little bit and allow your concepts and your perspectives to be challenged and to grow and shift and change, you may find that it becomes easier to go with the flow because it's easier to see things in a bigger picture in a different light. So in talking about learning how to go with the flow, it's important first to understand that we have a choice of how we perceive things. So it doesn't always have to be the same reaction every time that something happens. And so this allows us to flow a little more easily when we ease up on our concepts of how we're supposed to act or react. So for instance, you know, in my life, and we use this example often, okay, because it's a dramatic one and it's pertinent to the topic, but it's an easy one to use. So when we were moving, my family was moving from Florida to Arizona. It was me and my sons and our dogs and whatnot. And we just decided, you know, we're just going to start new. I really wanted to move to Arizona. They kind of got Shanghaied into it, like it or not. And I just wanted to start fresh. And so I had a huge house in Florida and it was just so much, you know, the kids weren't really there with me anymore. And I didn't really need all that. And I really wanted to be out in Arizona. I really enjoy Flagstaff very much in the Sedona area and that kind of thing. So I just got rid of most of my belongings. Anything that didn't fit in, I had this 28-foot RV. Anything that didn't fit in that, you know, just went. And that was a challenge for sure, but it was what I wanted to do. So we made that happen. And then coming out to Arizona should have taken about 3 or 4 days. Instead, it took like 3 weeks. It was insane. Things did not go as planned. My relocation money all went to hotels and repairing the RV every time it broke down and staying in the hotels because the RV was broken down and we couldn't stay in it while it got worked on. And it was just kind of a disaster. And so it was a real challenge in learning to go with the flow. I am pretty good at it for the most part anyway. And my kids have been raised to, you know, just, okay, it's, you know, you don't really have an attachment to expectations, you know, not that you just go, oh, I don't care about life, but they've been raised to go with the flow for the most part. Well, this was a real challenge because holy moly, it was whitewater rafting, not flowing. So, you know, in the time that it took us to get out here, all of my relocation money had been used up. So we ended up living in this broken down RV in the parks here, camping in basically a big metal tent, you know, and not the start we were expecting, you know. And it ended up, actually, it was very interesting. It was 20 weeks to the day that we were without a home. Now, do the math. That's about 5 months. I expected to come from Florida to Arizona. I had plenty of money to get right into a place, get a new life started. Not how it went. So here we are with, I've got my kids. We've got our dogs. We're here in a place where we really don't know anybody and trying to start over now from behind square one, you know. We don't even have a place to live, so to speak. So we, all of us, in our own ways, had to readjust our perspective. We could get very upset and what the hell, you know, and excuse me, but, you know, maybe we should just go back to Florida and, well, you know, we just need to forget this whole thing, or Arizona is horrible because look what happened, or maybe this just isn't meant to be. But in my gut, I knew, and my kids knew, that this was the right thing to do. So we adjusted. It was a challenge, but we adjusted our perspectives to allow the flow to continue and allow things to unfold in the way that was necessary in order to get us to the point of things working out. So one of the, I heard this saying at one point in a TV show, and it's one that I go back to often when I'm having challenging times. You know, the ending to a story, you get your happy ending by deciding where you end the story, right? So I didn't get my happy ending yet to this story, and so the story wasn't over until I did, right? So I was still in process. The getting out here was only a tiny fraction of the process, apparently, because I hadn't gotten the ending that I wanted to that story yet. And so this was a very valuable perspective for me to just know, okay, well, then clearly the story isn't over yet, and I have to continue going with this flow and see where it takes me and where it ends and how it comes out. How does it turn out, you know? And so shifting my perspective from one of, oh my God, we're stuck here in the woods and we're living like tramps and whatever, to, you know, a lot of people spend a lot of money to come camp in Flagstaff, Arizona. It's a very beautiful place. And really, if we had to be stuck somewhere, we really could have done a lot worse than the beautiful mountains and forests of Flagstaff, Arizona, you know? So how blessed were we that for whatever reason, we had to wait out this time period for this story to unfold and go through. We all were going through our own lessons and our own trials and challenges and that kind of thing. And it definitely, definitely refined us. You know, I kind of felt like there were a lot of times when I was in meditation and I just kept getting this image of a sculpture, you know, and the artist refining it and getting in the deep crevices and the details of the lines and the details of the face. And I thought, you know, to the piece of clay or the stone that he's working on, that probably kind of hurts. He's cutting in deep, you know, he's sanding and sanding and sanding and chipping away and chipping away and chipping away. It probably doesn't feel very good to the piece that is being done to, if they had feelings, you know. I kind of felt like a piece of some material that was being sculpted by some outside force. And it didn't feel all that great. But I just had the feeling that just like that piece of art, I was going to come out better for it. And so that's the perspective I chose to take. And there were times when I was like, you know, universe, this sucks. I don't like this. Could you stop sanding so hard? Could you stop digging in so deep? Could we just get a place to live already? You know, I've always been, you know, we've had challenges. Why not single mom, all that? But we've always had, you know, a safe place to be, that kind of thing. And so this was a challenge. So this experience forced me to really get the hang of going with the flow. And so what was important for me was to realize that learning to go with the flow in life is not just resigning yourself to, oh, fine, I give up, just throw me wherever you want, life. It's finding the flow. Energy, and we'll get into the physics and the universal stuff here, there are all these different flows of energy, all these different waves of energy and streams of consciousness. And so at any given moment, in any given situation, if we are not comfortable with what's happening and how we're feeling about it, all we really need to do is it's almost like tuning into a radio station, you know? All we need to do is just get very quiet, center ourselves, and find the state of mind that brings us to the place that we want to be, or at least closer to it, and then go with that flow of energy. So for instance, if life has sort of thrown a curve your way, or you're just in some kind of a slump, or, you know, maybe you just, you know, there's a little bit more, whatever the case may be, if you can simply find time every day, preferably, and walking is great. Some kind of movement is good because it gets the energy sort of moving, and just becoming aware of your inner self, of your that calm place within you. Just put everything else to the side. And I know sometimes that's really hard to do, but you know, it'll all be there when you stop, right? So 10 minutes, 15 minutes, it's not going to really create a detriment in your life to do this. So just put everything to the side for just a few minutes and find a calm space within you and ask yourself, how would I prefer to feel at the moment? And then begin to align with that feeling. Because any situation that you happen to be going through still has all these different levels of consciousness and all these different levels of vibration and frequency flowing through it, because they are universal. And so you can align with whatever vibration you choose to. In other words, you can align with sorrow, anger, anxiety, joy, bliss, harmony, security, confidence. Any of the states of mind really is a good gauge. What state of mind would you prefer to have in this situation? If you're in a place that's a little scary, which, you know, for me, when we got out here and it was that way, it was a little scary. I didn't know. I'm the provider for my family, and I was a little frightened. I had gotten them into this, and here we were, and how was I going to make this work? And so instead of allowing that fear to become what I aligned with, it was important that I center myself and find a place of confidence, a place of faith for me. That was important. A place of understanding that I'm not a person who falls into bad situations and melodrama and that sort of thing. Sometimes I don't have the big picture and it seems like I'm in a bad place, but it's just that I'm going through that tunnel to get to the other side. And so I've seen, you know, I'm 48 now, and history has proven, and this was another thing that I had to really go to, history has proven that I'm still here. So clearly I always make it through, right? So that helped me align with that place of, you know, I may not see the light right now, but I know that it's going to be okay because it always is. I'm still here. So that's proof that I always come through the situations. So all of these things, aligning with those different states of mind and consciousness, allowed me to pull myself up out of the doldrums, up out of the victim mentality, or, oh, you know, life is whatever, and just, I don't even know what to call it, you know, the melodrama and that sort of thing. So it was much easier to find the flow that I wanted to go with. So what I did was align with, what was it that I came to Arizona to do? And could I still do it even from the beautiful forest that was my home at the moment? You know? Now, it ended up that I still live in the forest, the same forest, just in a house now. And that's, you know, we'll go into that a little bit later, because it actually is a big part of this story. So by aligning with, okay, instead of being caught up in, oh my God, I'm fearful, what am I going to do? This is horrible. I don't know. What do I do to make this work? I stopped and I tuned back into when I was in Florida over the past however many years it was that I wanted to move to Arizona. What was it that I wanted to do? And how much of that, or what steps towards that, can I take from where I am right now? And so I started volunteering. I have a sound table that I do my regressions on. It's a beautiful table that's created with sacred geometry, and there's a sound system under it. And it's really phenomenal just to lay on, very healing. And so I thought, well, you know, I wanted to be working with people in a healing modality, and I wanted to be working down in Sedona and giving back to the land in Sedona. And so what can I do? And so a friend of mine and I went down to Sedona and found a place that would let us just set up the sound table for donations. And they said, you know, if you donate a plant or something every week that you do this, that's fine. Go ahead and set up, you know, every weekend. So we did that. And, you know, we usually made enough money to pay for the gas to get down there and maybe some ice cream on the way home, big treat. And if you're ever in Sedona, Black Cow ice cream, phenomenal. It's a place in Uptown Sedona in the touristy area, and they make the ice cream right there. It's great. And so that was like the big treat, you know, if we had a really good day. And so we weren't necessarily earning money, but it allowed me to be in a beautiful place, being of assistance and of service to people, which is what I'm here to do. And it allowed me to be in a healing environment all day. And it allowed me to align with moving forward with my purpose for coming out here. And from there, I got more clients as far as readings, and there was life coaching clients coming about through word of mouth. And so I was still doing, you know, little by little, I started continuing to be of service, even though I was in a situation that at the beginning just seemed, well, less than perfect, to say the least. So this allowed me to raise my mind, my state of mind, and helped me to start bringing in money so that I could, again, move forward and take care of things that needed to be taken care of. It also set the tone for my children and just the whole family, and helped us all begin to hopefully enjoy at least a little bit, you know, the time that we had. It was a very interesting time once we started looking at it differently. It was very much like a retreat, just a very low budget retreat. And so they really were instrumental in assisting me in learning how to find the flow. Because sometimes going with the flow means you have to find the flow that you are best suited for. So you may have a situation, but you still have a choice of what flow you choose to go with. So this is really part of the important lesson that I learned through this experience. And what I noticed was through 2012 and 2013, this lesson became more and more imperative to the clients that I worked with. Now, I do life coaching and psychic readings and regression and psychic services, that kind of thing. And I've worked with people from all over the world for over 30 years now. And so you can find my website, mysticaltruth.com and 12weekcoaching.com. I'm still building them. I'm learning how to do web design too. So it's kind of life. Isn't life wonderful? So certainly go check those out. And if I can be of service, please let me know. Most everything I do is by phone and online at this point too. So anyway, so I've found that in the last 2 years, through 2012 and 2013, this particular lesson really was amping up for people. And what was happening was we were moving from a third dimensional state of consciousness to a fourth dimensional state of consciousness, which means we're moving up and out of that, you know, like we were talking about at the beginning, with time being relative and really only being linear here on Earth. That's a third dimensional state of consciousness where time is linear. And so as we move into fourth dimension, like if you, fourth dimension is like the astral plane and that kind of thing. So when you, if you have experience with seeing ghosts, or you have, you know, maybe you are a psychic medium, or know somebody, or the movies that you see, what have you, in fourth dimension, there is no linear time. So for instance, one of the things that I specialize in is helping souls that are stuck move on and go to a place of healing. And what I've found over the years, because I've done this for, oh God, over 25 years now, I think, so professionally. And so what I find is somebody can pass away. I've worked with them from, you know, say the 1700s and before even. And they pass away and they don't understand. One, in a lot of cases, they don't know they've passed away. And two, they really just are stuck kind of in a time loop, or they just have no linear time whatsoever. They've just been walking in their favorite field for, 300 years, but they think it's been, you know, a very short time. They just think it's been an afternoon or something. And so because there is no linear time in that dimension, which can work to their benefit or to their detriment, right? Because you could be stuck for 300, 400 years and not have a clue Or, you know, you could also, you know, if it's a soul that passed in some sort of turmoil, luckily they have no idea that it's no concept that it's been in our minds that long, you know, but that's only in our dimension. So I guess it can be a little confusing if it's not something that you've experienced a whole lot of, but just to kind of give you an idea, once you get out of that third dimension, once you get out of the physical, right, because this is the dimension, the 3D dimension, once you get into fourth dimension, there isn't the physicality. That's why ghosts can seem to walk through walls and angels can, you know, move through the trees or what have you. So because we're the only ones that have that, you know, here in that, in this dimension, we're the only ones that have that physical nature. So jumping all over the place here, aren't I? This is what happens when I can't talk back and forth with you guys. So in learning to go with the flow, as we move from third to fourth dimension, this is where I was going with this, as you remove the element of time, it can seem as if things are moving much faster. And we, our reaction in this third dimensional reality and the way that we've been taught in our culture and that sort of thing, is when things go fast, typically we get this resistance, slow down or dig our heels in. We don't like the change, you know, happening so fast, or just wait a minute. We get a little stressed. And so it does create some stress on our part. And so this lesson of learning to flow with things has been a big one for a lot of people over the last couple of years. So what I've found, getting to the how-to, right? What I have found in my experience and with the clients that I've worked with over the past few years is that if you're able to remove the attachment to the desired outcome. So this doesn't mean don't set goals, don't have intentions, that's not what it means. It means set those goals or intentions and then just align yourself with a state of consciousness that will take you in that direction, but not in the manner where we're just dead set on that's how it's going to be. Because what happens is things flow and shift and change, and that outcome may not be at all what occurs. Now, for me, in this, going back to this, this kind of brings us back to another part of the story. Little did I know that over here in some other part of the world, right? When I was in Florida, and I lived in Florida, I had visited Arizona and I found a bed and breakfast, which I never did bed and breakfast, but if you're ever here, oh my God, this place is amazing. It's called Sedona Dreammaker Bed and Breakfast. And this place kept coming up and coming up and coming up. And finally I just thought, okay, fine. I'll stay there for a few nights on my visit to Sedona. So I did. And I walked in and I fell in love with this place. Now, mind you, this is 2008. Okay, so it was a few years before I moved out here. And I fell in love with the place. I wanted to buy the place. I was working so hard, you know, all the manifestation stuff, right? My intended goal was to, I found out that the place was for sale. And I just would have given, you know, just about anything to be the one who came in and took over that space and ran it. And I just, to this day, I love it. It's one of my favorite places in the world. And so I would see myself every morning. I would see myself having coffee in the great room. I would see myself, you know, moving through the B&B and talking with Phil and Dee, the owners, who are amazing. And this went on for a couple of years. And I just saw myself in it. And this place had it has a cottage next door, a little two-bedroom cottage that is also part of the grounds. Excuse me. And so I saw myself with the little place. The only thing was that to me, it was a little big for me to take care of as one person, because it's about 2 acres and I wasn't sure I could handle that. And also for me at the time, the cottage, I've since grown to really love the cottage, but at the time, I was like, well, it's kind of like a dollhouse. I don't know. I really would like something a little more modern. And so in my manifestations, clearly this intention, I was so intent on this being my life, right? Well, time passed and it became very clear that I was not going to come up with the money to buy this place. I just didn't have the funds. And you know, I was very sad. I was heartbroken, frankly. I was heartbroken because I was very attached to that outcome, right? So flash forward now to me living in the woods in Flagstaff in, I think it was 2011, I'm not even sure, 2010, 2011. And I'm frantically trying to find a place to live. I'm trying so hard to come up with the funds to get into a place because, again, all of my relocation money had gone to the almost month of trying to get out here, and it just had depleted everything. And so I'm, you know, my intention is I've got to get in a house. I've got to get in a house. And just none of them worked out. None of them worked out. And it was just house after house after house that would slip through my fingers. And I was furious, furious with God, with the universe, with whatever. And I'm thinking, you know what, angels? I'm here. I'm walking my path. I put everything into being of service. And how can you just leave me in the woods? And I really was having a very hard time. And then I'd pull myself out of it and I'd fall back in it. It was a challenging time. And I always pulled myself back out of it, you know, and found that state of consciousness that I did want to align with. But man, I just wasn't seeing the big picture and I was really, really having a hard time. So I'm looking on all the normal places that you look. I hadn't bought a newspaper to look for houses in because I thought, well, everybody does it online these days. And well, so one day I'm guided to pick up a newspaper and I pick up this newspaper and there's a listing and I'm like, oh, God, fine, let's just go, you know, check this one out. There was one that kind of popped for me and I go to check it out and everything kind of clicks and money just falls in my lap to get us into this house and it works out and I get into this house and these landlords have this house and the house next door and there's somebody in there, you know, and I'm really not even thinking straight because, well, frankly, I've been, you know, kind of homeless for how long now? And I really just want an actual shower, you know. And I just want to sleep in a bed and that kind of thing. So I really didn't see the whole picture still. I was just so grateful to be in a place finally. So I'm in this place for about 4 days and I realize I'm on my sound table, you know, down in the living room. I always have it set up like a piece of furniture and, you know, I'm on it often. And I look up and I look around this house and I realize, oh my God. To this day, it just amazes me. My house is literally a tiny version of the bed and breakfast. The same outside, the same inside, the floor plan, the materials they used to build the house, everything. And then after I had moved in, I found out that the neighbor next door was moving out and that that house would be up for rent. And if I wanted to, they would make me a deal if I wanted both of them because I have kids and whatever, and they're grown. And so, you know, just the extra space and that kind of thing. And so, as it worked out, I ended up with a tiny version of that bed and breakfast that I was so attached to taking over and buying and that kind of thing, with a 2-bedroom secondary cottage on my same grounds. And the only difference was that they were smaller. The grounds were smaller. It was just, you know, the two lots, and my house was smaller so that it was easier for me to take care of. But and the house next door was more modern. Now, if you remember, I said the one thing I had was that it was too big and that I really wished the cottage was more modern. So it became very clear that, you know, had I gotten into any of the houses that I was so angry about losing, I wouldn't have found this one. And this one had to be vacated before I could get into it. It had just been vacated. They just cleaned it up and everything. It's like, you know, so then I could find it. I hadn't looked in the newspaper before. I hadn't, you know. And so after I'm here for a year, now the story gets even better. After I'm in this house for a year, I go to re-sign the lease again because clearly this is home and I am going nowhere, right? I go to re-sign the lease and I find out that as I'm working so hard in Florida a couple of years before to manifest the bed and breakfast, and I'm seeing myself having coffee in the great room and all of these things, my landlords, in fact, were at that time building this house from scratch and building the one next door. They converted it from an old garage into this beautiful house. And so, literally, these houses were made for me. I was, at the time that they were planning and building, manifesting exactly what I wanted. I was attached to it being the bed and breakfast, which wasn't perfect for me because it was too big. And later down the line, they ended up building a whole neighborhood around it. It's great for a bed and breakfast, but it's not where I would personally have wanted to live. And then I found, Sedona isn't so good for my dogs because they do better up in the woods. And so spirit or the universe or whoever you would like to call it had the big picture. And had I not learned that eventually, I got the hang of not being attached to that outcome and I had released the bed and breakfast and just said, okay, I know I'm going to end up where I need to be. And, clearly this isn't working out. And so I just need to go with the flow. Right. But I clearly set that intention that place is where I felt at home, that setup is what I really wanted to have. But there were all these other things that were included in that were not good for me and I didn't necessarily see them at the time. So, in other words, it's that lesson of not being attached to the perceived outcome. Once I learned that I could let go, and the universe got what it was that I was intending so strongly. And here I am now, 3 years, I'm going on 3 years in this perfect setup. I couldn't begin to wish for anything better. It's exactly what I saw myself doing so many years ago. The place that I have coffee, the place that I get up in the morning, the place that I sleep, the grounds that I walk, the other house that's a part of my property now because I have both places. All of it is so much better than had I gotten what I thought was the outcome I wanted. So that was really a big lesson in the letting go of the perceived outcomes. Since then, I've seen that if I can learn to align myself with the frequency of the flow of any situation, anything that happens, I can go, okay. I center myself and I say, okay, what is the state of mind I wish to flow with in this situation? Good, bad, perceived bad, I should say, scary, exciting, whatever it is. What state of mind do I want to align myself? What intentions do I see? What is my perceived outcome? And then flow towards it. What is my desired outcome, I should say? What is my desired outcome? Because your perceived outcome could be scary, who knows? But what is your desired outcome? And then find that level of harmony or confidence or courage or love, whatever bliss, whatever it may be, that state of mind that you want to align with as you flow towards this desired outcome. And then not being locked onto that like it's the only option. Because then, once we attach ourselves to an outcome or to any part of the journey, as a matter of fact, once we become very attached to this is how it's supposed to be, we've stopped flowing. And so if when you catch yourself doing that, you're able to let loose of the reins and just know that as long as you're aligning with the state of consciousness or that state of mind that is beneficial and aligns with what your desired outcome will be. For me, it was being at home and truly loving where I was and being in a healing space, and I wanted a place that looked like the bed and breakfast. To me, that was important. The look of it was important. And so, aligning with the things that really matter in your heart, not in your mind. And choosing that state of consciousness and then flowing with it. And the second you feel yourself dig your heels in or find that this is how it's supposed to be or that's not how it's supposed to be, understand that you've just pushed the pause button on the flow. And so release. And again, just allow yourself to go with the energy and see how things unfold. Because that's what happens, is things just begin to unfold in front of you. And at every point, you have the choice to shift what your desired outcome is or shift the direction. You know, I started some business down in Sedona, and it flowed and flowed. And I kind of learned and gained what I needed to and found, you know, as I refined it, I really prefer to be up here in Flagstaff and then go down to Sedona here and there for things. But nobody's serving Flagstaff at the moment. You know, and a lot of what I do is online stuff. And so I don't really need to drive for an hour each way to do online classes or phone sessions. And what I can do in Sedona is sort of set the appointments all at once or something and go down and do a day in Sedona or what have you. But, you know, I just assumed that Sedona is where I would be working. Well, because that's where all the psychics and healers go, right? But that's where all the psychics and healers go. There's nobody up here, and Flagstaff is a much bigger town and is the closest town to the Grand Canyon that most people stay in and that kind of thing. And so why is nobody serving up here? And so my perceived outcome, had I not flowed, I never would have ended up being here and being of service up here to people. And, you know, just like people will go from Flag to Sedona, people will come from Sedona to Flag and work with me. And so, and it's a nice new environment and that sort of thing. And so when I was working down in Sedona for the past 2 years, I started one center and we outgrew it and it closed down. And just within a few months, because it happened so fast, there was so much backing. And then I worked with another center and helped them get up and running for almost a year. And then, you know, I thought that I was going to be there for a long time, but I had learned that lesson of not staying attached to the outcome, only allowing it to flow until it doesn't feel harmonious anymore. And then aligning with what does feel harmonious now, because when you attach to that outcome, then once that outcome comes, then what, you know? This is a flowing journey. It's not stop after stop after stop. And so what I've found is as you learn to flow with the energy, rather than attach to outcomes, stop when it comes, and then now what? You lose the momentum when you do that. And it is good to set the direction and the intentions. But then as you come up on that goal, as I came up on, you know, I've been at the center for about a year now and things with the other people are shifting and changing. And when have I achieved my goal, right? The center is up and running. It's successful. That's fabulous. What's my place now? What is my next step now? And so rather than just going, okay, I'm here. It's successful. I'm done. What, you don't stop flowing. What now? You know? And so instead of having the outcome that I'm attached to as a destination, it's simply a mile marker along the journey of flowing with the consistent light of creation that moves through me and that moves through you, moves through all of us. And so as we come up on the mile markers, we can almost feel the energy beginning to shift. It becomes more and more disharmonious. And so as this happens, it's time for us to start looking over yonder. You know, what comes after this? What do I see next? Because this is a flowing, fluid journey. So that's why they always compare spirit to water or water to spirit. They're very similar. You can't just stop water. What happens? It becomes stagnant. If there's no inflow and no outflow, it just becomes stagnant. So just like water, it's important for our light to continue moving and flowing. So as we, you know, come to, we've only got just about 15 minutes left. So as we come to this portion of the show, I would like to just help you understand, or recap, I guess, I don't know. the overall gist of this is that the flow is happening. So whether you decide to go with the flow or not go with the flow is still happening, right? Just because you go, oh, I'm not a go with the flow person. Okay, that doesn't really matter, because the flow is still happening. So you are a go with the flow person, because you're still alive. You're still moving through this life. It's, are you going through, are you flowing with life with intention and with harmony? Or are you just sort of bumbling through chaotically? And you always, always have the choice of shifting and changing your mind about how you'd like to do that. And all it comes down to is you finding that mind state or that state of consciousness that you would like to come from. So, for instance, now I'm starting this new office in Flagstaff, and so the Mystical Truth offices, okay? And so, you know, this morning I'm coming in and I'm thinking, oh my God, what have I done? There was a perfectly successful center down in Sedona. What the heck am I thinking? But that was no longer harmonious with my flow. And so I'm driving out of my neighborhood, my beautiful neighborhood, and I realize that I'm sort of fearful. I'm in a little bit of what the hell am I thinking kind of place, you know, starting from scratch yet again. And I realized that I was flowing with that level of fear. So again, still flowing, but hitting pause every few seconds, because every time you come into fear, you kind of sink your heels in and, oh God, no, I'm not going. And you're resisting that change and resisting the flow. And so I took a moment to just say, okay, how about I just shift this to courage and confidence, knowing that I wouldn't have had this feel to make this change if it wasn't something that was backed. Because that's what I've been shown always, is when I have this feeling and I listen to my gut, it's backed. So why am I afraid? Just because I don't see necessarily, I don't have the big picture. But you know what? I haven't had the big picture in a lot of cases, and it always comes out fine. So back away from the pause button, take a moment and pull myself up out of that fear space and just tune my insides into that frequency, just like a radio, into that frequency of courage and confidence and commitment, and just understanding that it's one foot in front of the other and keep on moving. When I stop in fear, I stop moving. And well, then I suppose there's probably reason to be fearful, because I'm not moving forward, so good things can't come my way. So realigning myself with that state of consciousness then allows me to move forward. I came into the office. I've gotten all kinds of stuff done. We're pre-recording the show so that I can go to this fabulous skull meditation tonight and network with some neat people and get to know some different people. And inevitably, there's always a little gifty from the universe. And I'm sure the meditation, you know, will bring some answers about questions I might have, or maybe even a little glimpse of the bigger picture would be fabulous. Hint, hint, universe and crystal skulls. And I wouldn't have any of that had I stayed in that place of fear and anxiety, right? So learning to go with the flow is understanding, first of all, that the flow is happening all around you. And just like, you know, if you picture a rainbow and you've got the different colors in the rainbow, the states of consciousness are very similar. So the colors of the rainbow, if I'm not mistaken, the science behind them is the the frequency at which the light is traveling or something. I don't know. There's something to the frequency and vibration and all that. So what do you want to align with? Right? So the frequency and vibration of, and you can actually measure this kind of thing. What is your frequency when you're at bliss? What is your frequency when you're in love? You're joyful. What is your, and this is your vibrational frequency, right? So you actually can measure this with like the electronic stuff and all. What is your vibration when you're afraid, when you're angry, when you're stuck in that victim vibration or that martyr kind of state of mind? Adjusting the levels is adjusting what part of the vibration of the flow you're going to move in. So, you know, you also can look at maybe a stream or something. The water up top is flowing nice and clear and smoothly, and the water on the bottom is moving the rocks around and kind of bumping and moving and whatever. And so where do you want to be flowing in that stream? As you go up from the rocky bottom, you're getting that clearer, smoother moving water, right? So there are a lot of different examples. You can think of anything that flows and have a visual or a feeling for yourself as to what part of that do you want to align with? Because the flow is happening. Energy is always flowing. You can't stop energy, just like you can't really stop water. So it's up to you how smoothly you choose to flow. And just remember, along with setting that state of consciousness, understanding that you do want to set goals and intentions, but to loosely set those so that you allow for something better to come as well. You know, so that when you reach this goal post or mile post that you thought was the desired outcome, you realize it's not the end. My story is, you know, 3 years later, still continuing. It's still not the end of the story because my life is still moving forward. I'm still here in Arizona, you know. I'm still waiting to see how this story comes out, and it will continue coming out as long as I continue to flow, right? So, again, I'm very sorry that we didn't get to chat in this, and I didn't get to take questions or comments, that kind of thing from you all, but I do appreciate you joining me. I hope that you've enjoyed it or got something out of it, and I hope you tell all your friends. So I do believe that this is the time frame that we're going to be sticking with. So it's 7:30 Eastern and 4:30 Pacific. I think we're going to stay at this time frame for a little bit and see how we do. I know we have loads of archive listeners and not many live listeners. I was doing it first thing in the morning, and so I'm trying to make it so more of you can communicate during the show. So I hope this helps. Thank you for joining me here at the Light of Truth. And, you know, please check out my website, mysticaltruth.com, and also 12weekcoaching.com. And, you know, I do love to be of service. I love what I do. And again, if you're not in the area, most of what I do as far as readings and life coaching and that kind of thing can be done by phone or internet. And also, you know, keep an eye on the calendar at mysticaltruth.com if you're interested in mystical studies, because we, as of this year, we'll be offering quite a few online classes, which are a lot of fun. We've done those in the past and they go over very well. So I hope you all will join us again, me and all my angels. And I hope you'll hit, you know, like or follow or whatever it is on Blog Talk. That helps me out with them. And follow me on Facebook if you like, and Twitter and all that. I'm trying to get the hang of the social media. I'm a mystic, not a techie, but we'll get it. So everybody have a wonderful day. Thank you again for joining me. And I hope to speak with you again soon. Bye.